You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
All righty, welcome everyone. Walking from the subway station to Innisfil today, I noticed some first-year students moving in. And so I don't know if any of them are here, but if you're here, welcome. But it is a reminder that summer is slowly fading away. Boo. September kicks off just a new rhythm, a new season, right? Schools are back, universities are back, colleges are back. Many of us have taken our vacation, kind of hit a different rhythm as we move towards Christmas. So it's great. We're excited. Our campus team, Pastor Tristan, he's not here today, but our campus team are hard at work. We've got Clubs Day coming up at the UFT this Thursday. Be praying for that and a lot of different other things happening next few weeks. And so we're excited for all that God is going to do. So we're continuing in our series, When We Pray, prayers that move God and change us. And over the last few weeks, we've been seeing that prayer is not just about twisting God's arm and moving God's arm, but it's something that is formative for us. It changes us in the process. Praying in and of itself is beneficial, even if God never answers us in the way we want to, because it changes us in the process. And so we've seen prayers for courage, for dependence upon God. Last week looked at maturity. Today we're going to look at a very short prayer, but a prayer for revival, what that looks like, how to stir that up in our hearts. And so we're going to look at a probably not as well-known prophet in the Old Testament, Habakkuk. Very strange name. Must have had a hard time at high school, I think, with that kind of name. But he had a very unique, prophets often heard something from God and brought it to the people. His is very different. His is a short book. It's three chapters. And the first two chapters are really his wrestling with God. He finds himself in the 7th century B.C., at a really difficult time in the nation of Israel. They had really like kind of left the Lord. There was moral decline. There was idolatry. There was violence. There was a lot of injustice. Just an unsettling time for anyone, and especially a prophet. And he feels like God is silent. Have you ever felt like that? Have you felt like God is just, where are you, God? Where are you? And he feels like that. And so he has this back and forth with God. And it's beautiful, because it really, it's actually the whole book is kind of a prayer. It's a prayer of what we call lament, where it's kind of like a venting before God, a divine complaining. And it's really healthy for you to see that in Scripture, because I know you complain. I know all of you, us complain. But it's really helpful to complain to the Lord, not so much to one another, right? And when we complain to the Lord, it's actually called lament. It's really good. It's really healthy. It's a sense of, things aren't as they should be, or why, God? It's those kind of expressions in our hearts. And he has this moment. Why aren't you doing anything? Why? These are your people, right? These are your people. Why aren't you doing anything? And then God begins to interact with him, and God says, I actually am doing something. In fact, I'm bringing this rising empire called Babylon on the scene to bring about judgment. And Habakkuk is like, that's a terrible idea. And so he has more issues with that. And sure enough, we know, as history points out, that the Babylonian Empire would be one of the most dominant empires in the time. And the nation of Israel will go into exile, and other books of the Bible speak about that. But we find ourselves with Habakkuk, not in chapters 1, not in chapters 2, but in chapters 3, and the tone shifts. He's had his venting with the Lord. He's had his moment with the Lord, and now he really shifts. And the prayer of lament always does shift. It is a complaint. It is a spewing out. It's a why. But almost always, it ends with a sense of trust and hope in God and looking to him. Otherwise, it can just leave us cynical and not healthy at all. So join me, if you will, in Habakkuk 3. We're going to read just the first two verses, and we're going to see that it's going to give us a bit of a framework for us to pray in our time, in our age, when maybe things are not as they should be or as we know God would want them to be. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Let's pray. Father, we do ask that today you would be with us in our midst. Lord, we haven't come to hear human wisdom, but we've come to hear a word from God. And I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would do just that. Speak what is necessary into each person's heart here today, each person's life, each person's situation here today, Lord. And stir up within us what you want to put on our hearts, Lord. As we've sung that song, Lord, break our hearts, what break yours? We ask, Lord, that that would then translate into our lives today. Do what you do best, Lord. Change us, transform us for your glory, our joy. Amen. All right, so he finds himself in this really difficult situation, and then he turns to God in this kind of prayer, and it's actually a beautiful, it goes on for a number of different verses, and I encourage you to read that, but it's a beautiful prayer, but we're just going to focus on these two verses. And that Shigionoth is an interesting word. It's only mentioned another time in Scripture, and we're not fully sure what it means, but we think it means a musical term. In fact, we think it means a way in which this psalm or this prayer should be prayed. And the best, one of the best ways that we can determine what that word means, it's meant to be very passionate and emotional, like a lament, very strong. And so this gives us an intensity behind this prayer. This is not a neat prayer. It's not a safe prayer. It's a desperate prayer, really, for God to do something, for God to intervene in the way that only he can. And so we're going to use this. We're going to look at what it looks like to pray a prayer of revival, to pray a prayer like that, to be stirred up to pray in our time, as we see from Habakkuk's prayer. And so we're going to describe revival. When you hear the word revival, I'm sure many different things might go through your mind, but we're just simply going to describe it today as a sovereign work of God in which his Spirit awakens us, his people, to renewed love, renewed holiness, renewed mission. Brings much vitality to his church and increases his witness, a fresh witness to the world. And so we're going to look at three things, three R's. We like alliteration, or at least I like alliteration here. And so Habakkuk's prayer is going to provide a framework for praying for revival today, remembering, renewing, and restoring. So number one, remembering God and his works. He prays, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. And so a desire for revival, the beginnings of revival happen when we remember who God is, when we remember what God does, when we remember, but then not only just remember, we feel the gap from what we know God to be and what God has done to what we experience from our lived experience. That gap lives in all of our lives. There's always that gap. When you read your Bible, there's kind of three ways that we can remember. We can remember biblically, we can remember historically, and we can remember personally. But biblically, when you read your Bible, you read parts of the Bible, you come across some amazing things that God does, miraculous things God does. Book of Acts, Exodus, wherever. We read that and we get a sense of who God is, what God has done in biblical times. And then we begin to feel the gap. Wow, it would be really cool if God did more of that stuff here, now, not just then. And so the first way that we remember is we remember biblically. We remember who God is. God, I've heard of your fame. But it's a sense of distance, right? It's like, I've heard of your fame. There's a sense of remoteness to his words. There's the gap. Israel had a long history, a long biblical history of God doing crazy things. They remembered, and they would have rituals to help them remember. They would tell the story of their Exodus to their children every year on the Passover. They would recite these. Why? Remembering is one of the biggest commands in the Bible, certainly the Old Testament. Why? Because we forget. We forget. It's amazing how life helps us forget. And it's no different to them. And so when we remember, wow, who God is, when we remember what he's done, it begins to awaken in us a sense of feeling a discontent with, like, there's a gap though, Lord. Where are you here and now? And so for Habakkuk, he's feeling this, Lord. He's feeling this knowing what God has done for the nation of Israel. But then we can also look historically. We can not only just look at biblical times, we can look at history. We can look at what God's done through his church over history. We can bring it even closer to home. Here's a great little Google search for you this afternoon. Google documented revivals in Canada's history. And you'd be amazed to see how God's worked across this nation in pockets, in the territories, amongst First Nations, West Coast, East Coast, the prairies. God's done some incredible things just in this nation. But the two ones that I want to bring to your attention and remind you of are the ones that has happened in the last 60 years. The first is the Saskatoon Revival in 1971. The Saskatoon Revival of 1971 started out in a small basement church of a Baptist church, and it was marked by deep repentance. People stood to confess sins, reconciled broken relationships, and a big mark of this was restitution. There's accounts of people returning stolen goods, accounts of people returning money that there wasn't theirs. You know, God's really working when people do that kind of stuff. I mean, anyone can jump up and swing, but when you're beginning to return stuff, you're under the conviction that you've done things that are not pleasing the sight of God, and you make restitution as a beautiful sign. And we say, God, we want more of that. And it swept through Canada, and it transcended denominational boundaries. So this is our history. This is just 60 years ago. But we forget. We forget. And so we want to stir up, not just biblically, but historically. The one that you might be a little bit more familiar with is what was called in the 1990s, the mid-1990s, is the Toronto Blessing. Very close to home, there was a church literally by the airport. It was called the Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship. Great name for a church by an airport. It was part of the Vineyard Movement. It's actually even there today. It's changed its name. It's called Catch the Fire. But something incredible happened and broke out in 1994. I had no idea of Toronto except for the Toronto Blessing. That was my only reference when we were thinking about moving here. I didn't know anything about Toronto and all its other great things. I just knew about the Toronto Blessing. Now, in some pockets, famous; other pockets, it's infamous. It was controversial in some ways, but nonetheless, God used it. It was marked by renewal. It was slightly different in terms of its experience than the Saskatoon Revival, but believers were overwhelmed by joy. There was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of fresh encounters with the Holy Spirit that went on for many years. Tens of thousands of people flew in from around the globe to attend what was going on there. You might have heard of Nicky Gumbel. He's the, or at least was, I think he might still be, but he was the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton, an Anglican church in London. And he credits visiting the Toronto Blessing to the spark of what would go on to be called Alpha. Have you ever heard of Alpha, the Alpha courses that's helped lead millions of people into a relationship with Jesus? It's documented that he testifies to his encounter here at the Toronto Blessing being a big spark of why that took off and has had the success it's had. Bill Johnson, the Bethel Reading Church, many people came here and will track back to God doing something there at that moment. So one emphasized holiness and reconciliation, the Saskatoon Revival, the other intimacy and renewal, but both remind us that when God moves, he does so in ways that meet the needs of his people and his church in that time and in that moment. So we can stir us, we can remember God and what he does biblically. We can also remember what God has done historically by looking at these kind of things and accounts of revival. But then what about personally? For those of you who've been walking with the Lord for some time, if you look back, were there times or seasons or moments in your life where it felt like God was really alive in your life, where God's presence was really manifest in your life? We know God is always with us. We know on a theoretical level, but I'm talking about where you just encountered, just you know, like you know God's with you, that perhaps God maybe used you in really miraculous ways. We can stir ourselves up and remember those times. For me, one of those times was my first few years as a Christian, kind of similar to Bert's testimony. I was returned to the Lord as a first-year university student at the University of Cape Town, and I joined a campus ministry back then that was several hundred students on a Friday night. Our meeting was on a Friday night. We would gather together, and I just thought this was normal, but we were about 600-700 students gathered for worship and prayer. We would regularly do 12-hour prayer meetings through the night. I just thought everyone did that. I just thought that that's what it, and now I realize, like, man, we were in the moment. We would go out soul winning at lunchtime on campus, and I just thought all Christians did this until I discovered, no, you're weird, you're radical, you're fanatic was the words a lot of people use, and maybe we had a lot of zeal and not a lot of, like, wisdom, and so God grows us up in wisdom, but I am thankful that I was at least marked at the beginning of my walk with the Lord with zeal. People who are passionate, and we saw God do some amazing things. We saw God work in incredible ways, saw miracles in front of my eyes, went on mission trips and prayed for people and saw God do deliverance, healing, salvation. Beautiful. And so I stir that up, and I remember what God, I remember who God is, and I remember how powerful God has worked in my experience. Not just what I read in the Bible, that's important. Not just what I hear historically, that's also important. But my experience with God, I remember that. And so part of me longs for that. And so a reflection for you in this first point. What past works of God stir your faith? Read them, get into them, let it stir up something in you. Let it create the dissonance and the tension in your life, that gap. It's an important gap for us, and for us then to move into the next part, Lord, do it again. So remembering fuels our faith. Remembering stirs up our faith. But if we just stop at remembering, that's just nostalgia. That's just longing for the good old days. And that's what Habakkuk's, not what Habakkuk's about. It's not what we're about as we pray these things. It's one part in a journey. He doesn't stop there. He pleads for God to do it again. So the second part is renewing God's work here in our time. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. Revival is asking God to do what he's done, who he is. Show up here now. Lord, do it again. Do it again in our time. And so oftentimes when we're asking God to show up, when we're praying for revival, we're actually largely praying for God's people. Now, it has an impact on society, but revival, at least scripturally, is largely for God's people. A couple of scriptures here. Psalm 85, verse 6, will you not revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Isaiah 57, for this is what the high and exalted one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with the one who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. Why? Why does revival almost need to begin with the people of God? Because we grow cold, because we settle in, because we get complacent, because we adopt status quo, because we drift, because so many different reasons, right? We don't sustain oftentimes the life that God has for us. And so revival is like God breathing afresh in us, breathing afresh in his church, awakening them up to his love for God and for people, awakening him, his bride, up to holiness and to fresh mission throughout the world. Jonathan Edwards, he was an 18th century revivalist preacher, and he describes revival as the acceleration of the normative practices or work of the Holy Spirit, the acceleration of the normal work of the Holy Spirit. And so what God does normally through our lives, but accelerated. So what takes years happens in days. What takes years and decades happens in weeks. This is the beauty of praying for an outpouring of God, for praying for an intervention of God. He speeds things up. And so if you join our Foundations course, you'll know that the Holy Spirit works primarily three ways. He works on us, drawing us to Jesus, convicting us, converting us. He works in us, making us more like Jesus, sanctifying us, producing fruit and character in our lives. And then he wants to work through us, advancing the mission and the ministry and the message of Jesus. And so when we're praying for revival, revive us, we're praying for an acceleration of all three of those things. Praying for God by his Spirit to work on us, in us, and through us. And God sometimes accelerates us. So what maybe would have taken years in your life takes maybe days or weeks. Wouldn't that be amazing? All the years of patience happens in two or three days. Like, I want to pray for revival. All the sanctification, that's going to take years. Now, it's not to say that we know that revival doesn't get sustained. So it's both and. But there are moments where God needs to intervene and awaken his church and quicken his church through acts of revival. In revival, this happens faster, deeper, and wider. And so another way that I get encouraged is oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes God works through young people. It seems that there's an openness and a willingness for God to work through young people. And so some of you will know that I've just finished a doctoral program through Asbury Seminary down in Kentucky. And during that time in 2023, the university across the street from the seminary, Asbury University, had what was not necessarily a revival, but an outpouring, the Asbury Outpouring. And so in the top right is one of my classmates, Zach. And Zach was a chaplain at Asbury University, and on a normal morning in February 8th of 2023, he gave a 30-minute message, his own words. He said it was a stinker, it wasn't a great one. We know that feeling, preachers, like, oh, that was a dud. But he said, you know, 19, that's Hughes Auditorium, that's where it happens, beautiful, old, but, you know, massive organ, so nothing cool, nothing hip, nothing contemporary about this. There's a gospel choir, I believe, that was in the leading them in worship. But he said about 19 students lingered. They just lingered to pray and to seek God. And 19 students became 50 students, and by that evening had be filled that auditorium. And for 16 days, they had nonstop prayer and worship. I think 80,000 at the peak had come through Asbury. 300 campuses across the North America and the world had come to be touched about what was going there. It was a mark of Gen Z. 25 and unders were predominantly the ones that God was working. And so the top left picture is me and my classmates. When I got to hear, I knew that Zach was in our class, and I was like, man, could you tell us some stories about what it was like? This was several months after this had happened. And then he actually took us to Hughes Auditorium, and we had a moment where we just got before the Lord and prayed. And we were remembering, right? Stirs up faith. God, you did it again 6 months ago. Do it again. Lord, we need you. And he said that that was so marked. It was such a Gen Z because it was marked by just a very calm peace. You know, some revivals, God's, the Toronto Blessing was marked by crazy stuff. This was marked by just, a lot of people said it was just the peace of God. You think of a generation that's crippled with anxiety, the peace of God. It was marked by just a sense of community, deep love for one another. You think of a generation that's crippled by loneliness. I think the Holy Spirit knows what we need. And the Holy Spirit was coming saying, this generation, I love this generation. I love this generation, and I'm going to uniquely use this generation. And when I see Gen Z coming and offloading their stuff today and moving, I'm saying, God, do it again. Do it again. This campus, thousands, cream of the crop, people all over the world are coming here. Do it again here. Let them encounter your love, your peace, and your purpose. And so, you know, from Saskatoon in 1971 to Toronto in 1994 to Asbury in 2023, we see a similar pattern. We see God move when a small, hungry group of people begin to pray and make space for him and say, do it again, Lord, in our time, in our day. Very similar to what Habakkuk was praying. Different expressions, but the same God transforming lives. So when we ask God to move in our time, we don't control how he chooses to move, right? We don't control what he chooses to do when we ask him to move in our time and our day. Renewal always comes with a reckoning. It's a reckoning with God. We come before God. We're asking God to come closer, to draw nearer, which is why we need the third thing. We need God's restorative mercy. At the end of Habakkuk's prayer, he says, in wrath, remember mercy. He knows. He knows in his particular time, revival means judgment upon his people because they were in idolatry, the sin. They were just so far from God. He knew what he was calling out to God. Like when we call out for God to renew us, when we call out for God to, you know, God, I want more of you in my life. Know that that's amazing. God's blessing will come, but it also means a reckoning with some things in your life that are going to need to change. It's a confrontation with the holy God. It's a reckoning with the holy God, but he's also a merciful God. And so we get God's mercy as he restores us, as he helps us in the areas and the places of our lives that have just been overwhelmed and overburdened by sin or idolatry or just unhealthy things. Revival disrupts the status quo. He breaks in and disrupts our lives. He disrupts the status quo that we've settled into. He shakes us out of complacency. It's a merciful disruption as we reckon with a God who loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And so God's presence will move in, and God's presence will bring great blessing, but it will also expose our sin, it will expose our idolatries, it will expose the ways that we look and rely on other things than God, and it will unsettle the rhythms and the status quo in our life. But it will always lead to mercy, it will always lead to restoration, it will always lead to healing if we allow him to do what he does. Hosea captures it well in chapter 6. Hosea says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will restore us, that we may live in his presence. So revival is God's work. It's a sovereign work of God. We can cry out for it, we can pray for it, but we don't manufacture it. But we can prepare for it. Preparation and readiness is ours. Readiness for revival. And so Habakkuk's prayer shows us it's not about hype. It's not nostalgia, longing for the good old days back when I was a student. It's not that. Those are helpful things to stir up. But it's asking God to breathe life into a weary people. It's asking God to breathe life into our lives. It's asking God to come and step in. Always beginning with prayerful longing, remembering who God is and what he does. Renewing his work in our time, in our day, in this place, on this campus, in this neighborhood, in this church, Lord. Would you come? Would you come and restore us, your people, in mercy? So, and if you want to deep dive in this, but there's common things that happen preceding revivals. Almost always it's prayer. It's almost always persistent prayer. There's a small group of people praying, people persistent prayer. There's a hunger, there's an expectation. So some questions for you and I to reflect on as we go into this week, as we pray, hopefully stir our hearts as a new school year is on the doorstep for us, as thousands of students, thousands of people come to this city, that we pray, God, for an openness. God, we pray. We want to grow in size at this church. We vision 500. We want to double in size in this church. That's going to need God's intervention and our preparation. And so we want to ask, Lord, am I hungry for God? Or have I settled for spiritual apathy? Am I willing for God to disrupt my comfort and routine? Am I praying not just for myself and my needs, but for God to move in our church, on the campus, and in this city? And I believe if we just start simply there, just start praying in our own lives, if we start praying as we get together as small groups, if we start praying as our church and just asking God to come, Lord, in our time, watch and see what God does. Watch and see what God does in your heart. Watch and see what he does in this church, not just this church. We pray for other churches in the city. Watch and see what he does. Watch and see what he might do in this nation, in this nation. This nation has got pockets of testimonies of revival all across it. Go stir yourself up. Read some of their accounts. Get nostalgic, but don't stay in nostalgia. Remember when your first time coming to the Lord. Remember those moments or seasons in your life. Remember personally, historically, biblically. But say, God, do it again in our time. Do it again in this moment. Do it again. Have your way. And I think it's fitting for us to close in prayer. And I think, what kind of prayer could we pray? And I've got a prayer we can pray. It'll be up on the screen. Let's stand up and let's pray this together. Lord, we have heard of your fame. We stand in awe of your deeds. Repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.